Psalm 16, page 549. Keep me safe, O God, for in you I take refuge. I said to the Lord, "You are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing." As for the saints who are in the land, they are the glorious ones in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those will increase who run after other gods. I will not pour out their libations of blood or take up their names on my lips. Lord, you have assigned me my portion and my cup. You have made my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. Thank you for your welcome. Thanks on behalf of all those from Christchurch this morning. Thank you, Emmanuel, for hosting this get-together, which is nice. Just to mention that Yvonne and I were talking before about how long we were involved in Explorers. And in fact, Jill and I gave up Explorers just over a year ago, after 36 years. And one of our more cynical members of our congregation afterwards did point out that murderers get less a sentence for murder. Another joke just before we start about the visiting preacher who preached, and he then went to speak to the minister afterwards and said to him, "Well, how did it go?" And he said, "It was okay. It reminded me of God's love and God's peace. God's love that's everlasting and God's peace that passeth understanding." Good to hear you laugh. Okay. We're going to sit before God's word, so shall we pray together? Father, we thank you, you're God, who speaks to us through your word, and we pray this morning, Lord, we might hear your voice. Lord, you might challenge us, you might encourage us. Lord, you might just draw us closer to yourself, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. The Psalms are quite interesting books, or quite an interesting book. And Philip Yancey, in his book, The Bible That Jesus Read, does, I find, outline the Psalms very faithfully and very well. And he talks about it, it's not as if God speaks to us through the Psalms, and he obviously does, but it's almost as if it is man speaking to God. And so it's almost as if we're looking over the shoulder of David, this, as he speaks, or as he recites this psalm. The psalms are full, aren't they, of different emotions: praise, thanksgiving, anger, hurt, disappointment, jealousy, failure, loneliness, questioning. And they're all emotions that sometimes we all feel. And I think that's the encouragement of the psalms, that sometimes it's encouraging to know that these spiritual men of God were just like us. I was on, some years ago, a management course at Harrods. It was an assertiveness course, and I think in my case it was because my management style was so aggressive, it needed to be more assertive. Others were perhaps more submissive in their management style, and they needed to be more assertive. Anyone? Particular morning, we were asked to sort of sum up our emotions in one word before we started the actual course. How do we feel that particular morning? And there were various, I can't even think of what I said, probably uneasy. And I suppose it's quite interesting if we were to ask that question of you this morning. How do you feel in one word this morning? I hope not too many of you say bored. But it's probably true. We're all in very sort of different situations, aren't we? Some of us are worried. Some of us are happy. Some of us are grateful. Some of us are really upset. Some of us are hurt. Some of us feel we've failed. And as we look at this psalm this morning, as we look over David's shoulder, what is perhaps the word, if he was asked, David, what's one word that sums up your emotion as you've composed this? And I think he would say, secure. This is the last joke. And Jill has approved it. There is the story of the very insecure man. And he was driving his wife potty. He was terribly, terribly insecure. And he shared this with his friends. He couldn't help it. You know, that was his nature. Anyway, one day this chap phones up this friend and says, she's left me. She's just fed up with me. She's like, what am I going to do? The chap was just silent. He said, oh, don't worry, she's come back. She was making a cup of tea. Think about a sermon is you don't remember the jokes, you remember the sermon. Okay. Security. We can think of security in material terms. Financially, relationship-wise, health-wise, materially. But David is here, I think, speaking about the security in his heart and his soul. His security in his relationship with his Lord. So what does a secure man look like? I think David was fairly secure at this stage. He talks in verse 1 of taking refuge in the Lord. He talks in verse 5 of secure. He talks in verse 8 of not being shaken. He talks in verse 8 of the Lord being his right hand. In verse 9 of being secure. So we sense he was in quite a good place. And yet the commentators don't actually know when he wrote this. It could be after he defeated Goliath. It could be after he escaped from Saul, who was seeking to kill him. It could be after God gave him this promise. David, after you die, David, I will raise up your offspring. I will establish his kingdom, the throne of his kingdom, forever. So he'd seen God do great things, great promises. So how does this secure man look? I think there are four things that perhaps we should be seeing in this secure man. It's quite interesting that he doesn't start by being triumphant and saying, oh, things are wonderful. He starts verse 1 saying, keep me safe, O God, for in you I take refuge. And that's the prayer of a secure man. Keep me safe, O God. He's saying, Lord, I need you. He has a right attitude within himself, but he says, Lord, I need you. Lord, I take refuge in you. And it's so easy, isn't it, for us to move away from the need of humble dependence on him. There are so many warnings in Scripture that we can fall away from keeping safe. Deuteronomy 8, Moses is talking to the people just before they're about to go into the promised land. When you're satisfied, praise the Lord. Don't forget his commands. There's a danger when you build houses, settle down, your herds grow, silver and gold increases, everything increases. There's a danger. Your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord. danger, perhaps, if we are feeling a bit secure, we're all right with God. There's the danger, the need to continue to say, keep me safe, Lord. Need for humility before him. Jesus says to the church in Laodicea, you say, I'm rich, I've acquired wealth, I don't need a thing. And Jesus says to them, you don't realize you've become wretched, pitiful, blind, naked. What does a secure man look like? A secure man is one who's humble before his God. And he says, keep me safe, Lord. Secondly, there are only 36 points this morning. Secondly, what does a secure man look like? He shows a right attitude to his God. David says, verse 2, I said to the Lord, capital letters, you are my Lord. The capital letters signify the word Yahweh, from the verb to become, Hebrew verb to become. If you remember, Moses was told by God, you're going to rescue the Israelites from the country of Egypt, where they were slaves. And he doesn't feel terribly happy about that job. He thinks it's a bit beyond him. And he says, but if they ask you, what's your name? What would you say? And you say, I am that I am. I am that I am. And then it says that Moses said to the Lord, L-O-R-D, in capital letters, first time it appears, he says to Yahweh. Yahweh is the third person of that verb, the Hebrew verb to become. And it's in an indefinite text, tense. So basically, Moses was speaking to the Lord. He is, he was, he is, he will be. All one tense, summed up in that term Yahweh. Unchanging, ever-present, eternal. The Lord. And David says, I said to that Lord, the everlasting, unchanging, eternal one, you are my Lord. Small letters. What does a secure man look like? A man who is submissive before his Lord. And there are numerous illustrations, aren't there, in Scripture? Numerous illustrations of people who acknowledge that lordship of Christ and it transforms their life. Peter goes fishing, goes out fishing all night, catches nothing, comes back probably a bit disgruntled, sees Jesus. Jesus says, put your boat out again, cast your nets again. You know the result. Massive, massive haul of fish. And Peter says, go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. He just realizes, as David did, this is the Lord. And Jesus says to Peter, don't be afraid. From now on, you're going to catch men. It's that important moment, isn't it, of us recognizing who that Lord is. He's just not just a chum. He's not someone we just sing about. He is the eternal Lord. David says, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. Third thing, what does a secure man look like? Verse 3, as for the saints who are in the land, they are the glorious ones in whom is all my delight. Secure man shows a right attitude towards other believers. Almost like an affection, isn't it? Glorious ones, my delight. We We can all look round at this stage and give lovely smiles to one another. Do you remember we used to sing, when we used to say the grace? Do you just do that? And we always just said the grace and all smile, lovely faces. And yet this is really what David said. As we look at each other, as he looked at those saints, delight. Delight. Glorious people. And if we're not secure seeing people like that, that security's gone. We heard a talk years ago, and I'm sorry, Christchurch folk, you've probably heard it many times, but it concerns Joshua. Joshua and Caleb were two... The Israelites sent 12 spies into the Promised Land, what was to be theirs. And 10 of them come back and say, oh, we can't go in there, the people are dreadful. They're going to eat us alive. Joshua and Caleb say, this is the land that God's promised. This is our land. Let's go in and take it. But the 10 overruled the 2. So I wonder how you would have felt if you were Joshua. What would you have felt about these other saints? It's interesting that 40 years later, when as a result of the tribes deciding not to go in to take the promised land, 40 years later, after that generation had died out, they are about to enter the promised land. And 40 years later, Joshua says, my brothers who went up with me. These guys that probably in some ways broke Joshua's heart, he calls them my brothers. Security is reflected, I think, in how we look on one another. Our relationship with Christ can be broken. Our security in him, if we're out of relationships with one another. Remember Christ's prayer just before he dies for us, his followers. He prays that they may be one. So look around at each other, guys. You can if you like, don't have to. Glorious. My delight. It's what God wants us to see in each other. That's what David saw in the saints. So recap, he was humble. Keep me safe, Lord. He was submissive. You are my Lord. And he was affectionate with his other believers. And lastly, there are some more points, but lastly, this first bit. A secure man, verse 4, rejects and shuns all other gods. The sorrows of those who will increase, who run after other gods. I will not pour out their libations of blood or take up their names on my lips. I will not do this. I will not take up their names. These people are chasing after other gods. I don't want anything to do with other gods. Possibly talking about ritual practices of false deities. It's interesting, though, isn't it, the word run, that people run after other gods. I used to work at Harrods, and we had a very serious mistake one year. We decided to put in some very cut-price televisions. Television department's on the third floor, and for some reason, the guy running the area thought, well, what we'll do, we have a couple of real bargain televisions. And absolute mayhem. But what unfortunate that they didn't realise that there are different ways to get to the department. And so they gave a ticket, two tickets to the first two people in the queue, so they were really guaranteed those two televisions. But unfortunately, what they didn't know, and what the third person knew, was there was a quicker way to the department from the person with ticket for 1 and 2. Absolutely, they had to supply loads of additional cheap televisions to save war breaking out. But it's this picture, isn't it, of running, you know, oh, I must have that. And the contrast between verse 1, where it says, "For in you I take refuge," picture of solidity, not a picture of running after this, running after that. David wasn't going to be deflected away from his relationship with his Lord. Humble, submissive, affectionate, dismissive. Do you think perhaps drawing us away, drawing me away from a secure relationship with the Lord Jesus? That's perhaps the last little part of that section of what does a secure person look like. But just wanted to say two things really about it. Firstly is that you're not looking at the epitome of security. This psalm has helped me because those that are close to me will know that I'm not always terribly humble. Not always very aware of the lordship of Christ in my life, and I'm sure perhaps we all feel that in sometimes the way we act and the way we think. So don't think that this is me speaking out of great experience, but this is me speaking, I think, through looking at what God's word says to us. I think it's always quite, that's one thing about me, but also it's about David, that David himself wasn't always this secure rock. Boy, did he mess up at times. And so I don't think the Lord wants to say to us this morning, oh, I'm not like that, oh, goodness, none of those things qualify for me. The Lord doesn't want us to make us feel guilty, to be racked with guilt. And he wants us to say, like Peter, that morning when he fished, he says to Peter, as Peter recognises his lordship, he says, "Don't be afraid. Come on, let's get going. Come on, let's go and catch men." God doesn't want to leave us in a slough of despond. Don't be afraid. Trust me. So, that's what a secure person looks like. Briefly, two further points. That's always a very dangerous word, briefly. But in verses 5 and 6, he looks to what God has given him. The word delightful appears there. "Lord, you have assigned me of my portion, my cup. You have made my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance." In fact, one of the translations does talk about the Lord being my portion, the Lord being my cup, the Lord being my inheritance. So the joy is not in God's gifts. The joy is that God's greatest gift to us is himself. It's good to think about portions. I thought about food. It's good to think about cup. I thought about drink. And I thought then the words of Jesus, doesn't he? When he thinks about food, he says, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall never hunger." When he talks about drink, he talks about, "If any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Streams of living water will flow from within him." So what does the secure man look like? What does he look to? He looks to him. And as a result of looking to him, as he's seen all that God has done for him, what does he say, verses 7 and 8? "I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night my heart instructs me. I've set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken." He looks to him, and what's the result? He sets the Lord always before him. Picture of obedience, isn't it? Christ says, "Do this." What do we do? I set the Lord always before him. He talks about obeying him. He talks about being counseled and instruction. He talks about protection, God being at his right hand. Wedding service, where is the groom? On the right-hand side, protecting his dearly beloved wife. The bodyguard in the old days was always at the right hand. He senses he's looking to one who protects him. My cup, my portion, Lord, I'm just so grateful. He wants us to eat and drink with him. He wants us to look to the one in whom we can be secure and satisfied. And the result is he sets his eyes on him, realizing what he's done. My heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. The place of worship. So what does the man look like? What does the man look to? And now finally, what does a secure man look forward to? In these last verses. Since in the Old Testament, there's not much talk about believers talking of eternal life. And yet I think here there's a little bit of a shadow of David's expectancy of a future life. He knows God has rescued him in the past, and he talks about God rescuing him again, will not abandon me to the grave. He talks about one day not letting your Holy One see decay. So it could be that it's almost a resurrection thought of David's. You know, there's more to this life than this life. And yet it's interesting because this is a very personal psalm. It's always quite a prophetic psalm. Because Peter, when he preaches on the day of Pentecost, uses these very verses. You will not abandon me, he quotes to the people. David is a prophet. And David the prophet says that he tells us that David was buried. His body did see decay, but he was a prophet. And that he was speaking, as he spoke here, of the resurrection of the Christ. You will not abandon me to see the grave, nor will you let your Holy One, the Holy One Jesus, see decay. You've made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. So what does the secure man look forward to? He looks forward to seeing Jesus in eternity. Because of him, the one that didn't die, that didn't decay, because of him, we can rest secure for our futures. Just go back to that picture of Peter again. We might be a bit frightened about what's ahead of us. We don't know, do we? But he says to Peter, don't be afraid. And I believe God says to us, verses 10 and 11, we can say, you will not abandon me to the grave. You will not let me, your Holy One, see decay. You've made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with the eternal pleasures at your right hand. Are you rock solid about that security? Rock solid that one day you will see Jesus face to face. Am I? Security. God wants us to be secure in him. You look very somber. I hope it hasn't been too painful. Let's pray together, shall we? Father, this is awesome stuff. You're the Lord of eternity. And Lord, you're at our right hand. And Lord, you're wanting us to be secure in you, to be humble before you, to be submissive to you, to be affectionate to those around us that know you and love you. You want us to have nothing to do with things that draw us away from yourself. Lord, you want to make us secure in you, so that our lives might reflect the fact that we see in you our cup, our portion, our inheritance. And Lord, that one day, Lord, we'll see you face to face. Father, encourage us this morning, I pray, as we look at you. In Jesus' name. Amen.